This week marks the 20th anniversary of the failed coup against Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev, when hardline communists opposed to his reform efforts tried to take him down. You may remember the famous picture of the Russian president, Boris Yeltsin, standing on a tank, defying the coup. Well, historians say the coup actually achieved the opposite of what the plotters intended. It didn't stop the reforms, and it paved the way for the collapse of the Soviet Union 4 months later. Gorbachev resigned, power shifted to Yeltsin. Bridget Kendall, the BBC's Moscow correspondent in August 1991, looks back on the events of that summer.
For months before the tanks rolled in, Gorbachev's position had looked precarious. He'd surrounded himself with hardliners and was desperately trying to zigzag between them and reformers.
I made a silly mistake, but I was in such a bad way, upset, worn out with worry. I had to get a grip and sort myself out.
At a secret meeting, he offered his Russian rival Boris Yeltsin and President Nazarbayev of Kazakhstan a deal to share power in a new union treaty and talk to them about the need to get rid of the hardliners. His mistake was that he didn't realize their private conversation was being listened into.
Kruchkov, the KGB chief, had been recording us. He gave the tape to Yazov, the defense minister, to listen to, and then the others too. They all took fright and concluded they had nothing to lose. So they decided to go for a coup d'etat.
The coup plotters included the vice president and Gorbachev's own long-standing chief of staff, as well as the defense, interior, and KGB chiefs. The coup plotters dispatched a delegation down to the Black Sea to confront Gorbachev at his villa. They surrounded the compound with armed guards, and at a tense meeting, they demanded that either Gorbachev join them or agree to give up his powers.
I even swore at them. I said, go and convene a Congress, and we'll see whose plan gets more support, yours or mine. In the end, they left empty-handed. They flew back. I think they got drunk on the way. And reported back that Gorbachev had refused. Refused what? Refused to sign the order delegating my powers to the vice president due to the poor state of my health. What lies.
According to the Article 1277 of the USSR Constitution, Vice President of the USSR Gennady Genayev took office from Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev.
Moscow Radio declared an emergency committee had taken over. The coup leaders ordered tanks and troops to secure the Kremlin, as I reported at the time.
Eyewitness reports in Moscow say that military vehicles, including tanks and armoured cars, are positioned at various strategic buildings in the city centre.
The news spread across the world, causing ripples of dismay. Outside the Russian parliament, Boris Yeltsin clambered up onto a tank and declared the coup illegal. He rallied people to join him in defending Russia's fledgling democracy. The many thousands gathered outside the Russian parliament realized that in 6 years of Gorbachev's reforms, they had lost their fear. After a few days, the coup attempt crumbled, and Gorbachev returned to Moscow. But it was, as he put it at the time, to a different country. Within 5 months, the Soviet Union itself collapsed, leaving Gorbachev without a country to preside over. Today in Moscow, at an unlikely recording session, Gorbachev, the Soviet Union's last president, records a Russian romance that was once his late wife Raisa's favorite. It's a sad song, but 20 years since he lost power, Gorbachev is not melancholic. His own political career may be long over, and he may lament the state of Russian politics today, but the thwarted coup of 1991, he says, was an event Russia can be proud of.